Blog Talk Radio.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, ladies and germs. Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 206. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross bringing it to you with NFL Week 9 coverage. We had alluded to the fact that we would be doing some phoners through the course of the season because of logistics. This week, the logistics involve Hurricane Sandy, which it didn't strike us as frontally along America's north coast as it did the east coast. By the way, shout out to the FDH New York Bureau, Steve Cervillo, dealing with this in Staten Island, hoping he gets back full power sometime soon. But again, Cleveland got hit pretty good, much more so than you would expect for most storms here. So Kyle and I are doing this remotely this week. Glad to be able to bring him in here at this time. He is 19-12-1 on the season for his recommended plays. 1-3 last week, but killing it overall for the season. Kyle, congratulations on a great mark for the season, as I put a positive spin on that.
I was going to say, I took a bit of a step back last week. I think that was my worst week, going 1-3. I think it was my worst week overall. There were a lot of games that just did not go the way I anticipated them going, but you're staying safe, more importantly. You know, you mentioned Hurricane Sandy and stuff like that. It's been lousy here the last couple of days. It's been okay in Broadview Heights, but I know you know, the downtown area where my girlfriend lives, she got a bit of a leaky roof, like you said. Certainly nothing compared to what we've seen, you know, elsewhere in the country. But, yeah, it's been a couple lousy days, man. This weather has just been it's awful.
Really, it's horrible.
Yeah, really hoping it stops soon and, you know, brings me a new week of winners here as we turn the page. Interesting
there
week
you go.
This week. Interesting week as far as the card goes, Ricky. There are five games that I definitely like and will be recommending. And then the other ones, I don't want to recommend anything. I just hate them all. So I decided to lump, you know what, I'm going five on the high side for me for recommendations. But there was five where I'm like, yeah, I definitely like the side. And the rest of them, I was like, God, I'm just going to flip a coin on half these or just go on principle with most of them.
I know at least one of the ones you're not going to go on. We'll get to that one a little later. I had a horrible week last week. 5-9, 0-3 on my big three, 0-1, of course, on my lock. 54-61-3 for the season, 10-13-1 for my big three, 5-3 for my lock picks. Having said that, I'm going to put a positive spin on this. When I went 12-2-2 week two, I said this is unsustainable. I think I even joked about you should use me as a go-against. If you were going with me the first 2 weeks and against me subsequently, 71-44-3, Kyle. How's that for putting a good spin on it?
That certainly is. I'll tell you what kind of week is it this week, you think? Is it a go on or go against kind of week? What do you think?
This is, you know what? I think this is a go on week. I'm gonna come back. I've only won 6-5-5 games the last 3 weeks. I'm due for it, but this is a real body snatchers kind of week, Kyle. You are not going to believe who you're talking to on a lot of these games here. You're really, if you think you got me pegged on a lot of games, you probably guessed wrong.
Okay. I'm interested in that. I was just going to say this is an interesting week because I think we're basically halfway through the season and we're starting to see the contenders go away from the pretenders. I know when we do it, you know, we do these things over phone as opposed to in person. You know, our time's a little more limited, so maybe we'll keep this to next week. But I already think I know just about every playoff team, and certainly the division winners.
I think we know most of them, and I think there's a wild card play-in game in the AFC this week.
Yeah, I agree. I'm really looking forward to talking about that game, because who saw that coming?
Oh, exactly. That's very strange. We always just do a general gloss on the Thursday games because the show is not up in time. For the record, my play for the Thursday game this week, Kansas City plus the 8. It started at 9, but I just two bad teams right now. I've been down on Kansas City the whole year, but I think they can stay close.
Well, this is interesting, you know, real quick. I guess you take the 8, but, you know, at this point, even I, who has been Kansas City's most loyal supporter this year, I mean, I tried watching that game against the Raiders last week. It was an awful game, more of the same. I mean, this team has not held a lead in regulation this year. Their only win, if you recall, sports fans, came in a big comeback at New Orleans week 3. They didn't hold the lead until they kicked the game-winning field goal in overtime. But San Diego is so wretched. I mean, even by their despicable standards of the last couple of seasons. You know, I mean, they've scored 6 points in the last 6 quarters. You go to Cleveland and offer up probably one of the more anemic performances in the league. So I guess you got to take the points. I don't love this game at all.
No.
You're right, it's two bad teams. Sandy, I told you to be weary. I mean, of course they lost to Cleveland off a bye. You know, of course they lost to Cleveland. North Turner, I don't know how he's still employed.
Kyle, if the San Diego-Kansas City game were a human and it had a mother, the mother wouldn't love this game. It sucks.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. This is just, just two wretched teams. Kansas City...
Yep.
Kansas City is probably the worst team not named Jacksonville in the league right now.
They're pretty bad. They're pretty doggone bad.
They lead in regulation through 7 weeks? That is horrible. I mean, everyone's heard the stat right now, but it hasn't happened since 1940. I mean, that's just pathetic.
Yeah. Two bad teams in a horrible division, to be sure. Looking at the weekend games, starting with the team that's leading their division, the 4-3 Broncos, at the 3-4 Bengals, a real story of two teams going in opposite directions about now. Denver playing 3.5 in this one, up from 3 previously. I was looking at this and I was trying to be a contrarian. I'm thinking to myself, you know, the Bengals can at least stay on the periphery of contention with a win here. I do think that the Cincinnati offense is going to be a little better than we've seen the last couple of weeks, but I just couldn't psych myself into going from what looks to be too obvious here. Denver laying the 3.5 on the road. I think they just got too much momentum.
Disagreement here. Number one, this is going to be one of my 5 recommended plays. I don't think that shocks you. I mean, this is a vintage Ross Stephen play. You got the Bengals as a home dog. Off a bye week, they are desperate, like you mentioned. I want to talk about the Broncos for a minute. It seems Monday morning in the usual circles, the real parlor question became, what about these Broncos? Are they, how good are they? Can they compete with to win an AFC championship? And I'm thinking to myself, they've already played Houston and New England, folks, and they were down by 20 points in each of those games. You want my read on the Denver Broncos? It's very simple. They are quite obviously the third best team in the AFC. Nothing more, nothing less. But
better than Baltimore?
Oh yeah, I think they're better than Baltimore.
Okay.
I think that. Well, I mean, not Baltimore when healthy, but Baltimore right now.
Okay.
I think Baltimore. If you recall, Baltimore, I was kind of down on them to start the year too. Keep that in mind, by the way, in a few minutes. But, so I see Baltimore kind of having a 500, not finishing the year 500, but I think they're going to be kind of a win-one, lose-one team most the rest of the way. Denver, I think the market's kind of shifted. Yeah, they were kind of undervalued. They played that brutal schedule at the beginning, but now everyone loves them. And as much as I don't like Cincinnati, I've gone against them many times this year. I do like them in the home dog role. Most of the times I went against them is in spots where they should have been favored against Miami, Cleveland. But here I do like them plus the points. Off the bye week, too. This has been a pretty good spot for some teams. Miami last week was very tight. One of them was, you know, probably my best play as a dog off the bye week.
Well, and Natty's got the hook working here at 3.5, so you got a chance.
That line, and here's the thing, too. That line's even climbed up to 4 in some spots, and I expect it to climb up further. So if you kind of like some of the things what I said and you're listening and it made a little sense to you, I'd probably wait till Sunday to bet the Bengals.
Okay.
That line's going to climb to 5, I predict.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Yeah, you could probably hold out and look for something a little more advantageous. The 4-4 Cardinals are at the 5-3 Packers. This is a game where Green Bay is laying 10.5. Or I'm sorry, they're laying 11 up from 10.5. Green Bay's effort last week, shameful, reminiscent of some of the waning years of Phil Jackson in L.A. when he would let his team go hit his bong before a playoff game and they'd go out and lose by 30 points and come back and win the series anyways. It's really, really sad and shameful when a team doesn't even care because they know they can rally in the end, and that's the way Green Bay approached it. Under the circumstances, as down as I am on Arizona, I got to take the points in this one here. Green Bay clearly cannot be motivated against an inferior opponent. I like the points in this one.
Yeah, this is a tricky one. I mean, this game stinks. This is not a game I would recommend playing at all. I'll give the slight lean to Arizona. I'll agree with you just on principle because they're a double-digit dog. And, yeah, Green Bay was really lethargic last week against Jacksonville. There was a brief moment in the first half where you're like, okay, if they get it going, maybe get it on the next drive, score again, maybe they can cover this. But you got the sense that it was going to be a straight-up win, ATS loss the whole way, which goes to show you really shouldn't lay 16 points in an NFL game, no matter who the participants are. And Arizona, I know it's a short week. That's what makes me not like them at all. I mean, they look terrible Monday night. Just terrible. I mean, it was funny. They started 4-0, and I kind of had a lot of egg on my face because I said they'd only win 5-6 games all year. I might still be right. I'm telling you. Them in Minnesota, we said it when they met 2 weeks ago, you know, just write these teams off, and I think it's going that way. The Packers will definitely win this game, probably by a touchdown.
That sounds about right, ultimately. That's probably about all the effort that they're going to care to muster in this one. We agree, though.
Arizona does have a good defense, but, I mean,
yeah.
They're going to need to find a way to score. Maybe no Charles Woodson, obviously, for the Packers. Maybe they can get the passing game on track, but I don't know. They've just looked awful the last four games.
They have. Arizona coming back to earth as we knew they would. Clearly.
And it's so funny, Ricky, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, sure.
As soon as everyone's like, oh, you know, if you go back to last year, Arizona's actually 11-2 in their last 13 games. As soon as, you know, like your mom knew that stat, you knew it was time to start betting against Arizona probably. So.
Well, how fitting, Kyle. Arizona is who Dennis Green thought they were.
Yeah, they were. And what did I tell you about Arizona on Monday nights last week? It never goes well for them. There was no extracurriculars, I don't think. But, yeah, I mean,
you
I
were right.
Came off kind of early. But, goes well on Monday night for them, ever.
You were absolutely right about that one. And the aforementioned
I picked the Cardinals, so I wasn't absolutely right about it. I thought they would cover at least.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought Arizona was going to cover also. I thought it was going to be another tight primetime game, such as the 49ers played against Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wrong about that one. This next one here, the aforementioned AFC wild card play-in game. Winner gets the 6th seed. We already state this here. Week 9.
I thought I was crazy for thinking that, and you actually said it out loud.
Yeah, I have a tendency to say crazy things out loud.
Okay.
4-3 Dolphins at the 4-3 Colts. Another shameful kind of point here as far as TV marketing and whatnot. Solomon Wilcox combo, which is well down the string here. How you don't have the number one or number two team for CBS in Indianapolis for this one, I don't know.
You're dreaming, pal.
Well,
your first comment was way more believable than that.
Well, they're putting the Gumbel Deerdorf team in Denver and Cincinnati apparently because I don't know, maybe the sponsors are going to sell a few more milk duds if Peyton Manning is on a few more TVs. It's just a sickening thing as far as TV media these days.
I'll tell you what, you people are disgusting. I thought you were behind Citizens United. I thought that was all you're doing.
Yeah. Miami's laying 2.5 up from 1 earlier in the week. The line is moving in an inflated direction as far as points for the Colts here. And yet, I'm looking at this one. You certainly have to look at it from the perspective.
That was a very early line move on Miami. I was quite surprised. Vegas does not. I'll let you finish here. I just want to let you know, Vegas does not regard the Colts well at all in their power rankings. The Colts are towards the bottom of the league in the Vegas power rankings. They are not well regarded among the odds makers right now. I do know that.
Interesting. They're at home. They've had some emotional wins at home since the whole Pagano hospital situation started here. As a live dog, I'm going to say take the points, and that probably means that I'm saying Indianapolis to win, although at 2.5, it's not exactly a mathematical certainty, but I say take the points, 2.5 in the Colts. I didn't know it was an early line move, so I feel a little hesitant now that I hear that from you, but I'm going to stick on it, Colts plus the 2.5.
Yeah, but the Eagles were an early line move and a pretty early loser, too, on Sunday. Thank you very much. I'm going with you, and I hate to be kind of one of these hacks who just starts rooting for a team because I want to be right. But with all the luck RG3 debate going on and me sort of early in the season throwing my weight behind luck so mightily, I really want to see him do well. And I'll tell you what, man. I mean, I'm with you. People, I don't think this is going to be talked about. I actually think your point is going to be laughed at when it's brought up in some circles. But I agree with it about, bottom line is whoever does win this game will be 5-3 and will be in position for the playoffs. Now, I don't think a lot of people are going to buy it, but the way this AFC is shaking out, historically weak, I really do think the team that wins here Sunday has a real legitimate shot at making the playoffs, because the way I see the AFC playoffs breaking out, Ricky, it's going to be New England, obviously, Houston, obviously, Denver, obviously. I think both Baltimore and Pittsburgh get back in and probably play each other on the first weekend. I don't know who wins the division, probably Baltimore, since they got the early start. But that leaves a sixth spot, and you and I have been kind of debating all year, who's that sixth team going to be? You know, I foolishly thought Buffalo before the year. I know you recommended Tennessee. Those teams look out of it. And
boy.
San Diego and Kansas City were teams on the West that we pushed early in the year that obviously, as you know, we both think stink now. So I really think that could be one of the teams out. Miami is a team that, remember, early in the year I said, remember, this team's going to win more games than you think, the Dolphins. And I think they're already on kind of pace for that, even if they don't win this game. But at home, I do like the Colts plus the points. I don't think Miami's a team. Yeah, they were undervalued, but I don't like them as a road favorite. They ambushed the Jets like I thought they would, because the Jets are a sorry no-account team, and Miami had 2 weeks to prepare. But not here. There's something special going on with this Colts team right now. There's not a lot there besides Andrew Luck, but Luck is so good. I'll tell you, how good – I got a storyline for you, by the way, because I keep babbling incoherently. You want a story?
Yeah.
Storyline here? Listen to this potential first-round playoff matchup that I got going in my head right now. Denver-Indianapolis.
Oh!
How would you not love that? How would you not love the quarterbacks? Oh, how would you not love the video package going back to 97? How would you not love that for the worldwide leader?
I could just see some dipstick sideline reporter talking to Oliver Luck and saying, you know, I understand that, and by the way, this is true, that you babysat the Manning boys, in your younger days. Is it possible there's any divided loyalties here? That would be outstanding.
It would be. I'm telling you, who would have ever thought, you and I were, I'd like to say that I was pretty optimistic about both these teams. I thought they'd be 6-win or more teams before the year if you go back. I think I said that.
Well, the Dolphins are my 1A team, and I can't even say I was that optimistic. And, again, I'm not on them this week here. Even road favorite Ricky isn't liking Miami laying 2.5.
I love it. Yeah,
in the dome.
I'm really rooting for Andrew Luck, because I just don't see why. Robert Griffin III is a fine player. Like I said last week, it's great to get two elite quarterbacks in the same draft. I just think Andrew Luck does not get his just desserts. I mean, it's not like the storyline wasn't interesting enough. I mean, if you want to go that route, I mean, you know me.
Right.
And then the people who are hyping RG3, you know, obviously, he's got the superstar quality about him. I'm not bemoaning the man being promoted. But, I mean, Andrew
right.
Luck replacing the legend Peyton Manning, that's pretty interesting to me. And they beat Green Bay. They beat Green Bay.
It is. It is. The next game up is certainly not a playoff preview. The 3-4 Bills at the 6-1 Texans. Houston is laying 10 in this one, down from 10.5 a little earlier in the week. I smell a patented Kyle Ross abstention coming on due to the size of the spread in this one. This is another one, again, might be a little bit surprising with me given how I slot both of these teams here, but I think this game could be at least a moderate scoring game, maybe a little bit high scoring, could be a little bit of a shootout. I think Buffalo gets the back door here. I'm going to say Bills plus the 10.
Well, you know, I think we're going to surprise each other here because I know, you know, I typically will just, when in doubt, leans the double-digit dog, but Buffalo's really bad. Their scoring differential's terrible. When they've stepped up in class, they've really gotten punched in the mouth. Both New England and San Francisco crushed them. That loss to Tennessee before the bye week was a bad one. I think it's some of their season. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is done here. Houston's off its bye, too. I see this one actually getting kind of ugly. And the back door could be open, but I don't see the Bills going through it, walking through it. I don't like recommending double-digit favorites. This is not a recommendation per se, but I guess a small lean to Houston.
Interesting. Well, this next game. Okay.
Well, by the way, I think the Colts are a recommended one for me, by the way. I don't know if I made that clear.
Colts are recommended, okay.
Colts and the Bengals are two of five that I'll be
two of your five.
Highly recommended.
Okay. I got one here in the next one, Kyle. Carolina at Washington. I've been teasing this all year my why ask why pick. Anytime you see a line that is just so outlandish, go the other way from what your instinct is. Washington's laying 3. They've been consistently laying 3 all week. And I understand Washington's coming off of kind of an ugly week, and maybe there's a little bit of overreaction to that. But you're telling me these teams would be rated by Vegas equal on a neutral field with everything that Carolina's been through this year? Okay, yeah. One amazingly close game at Chicago. Again, maybe everybody's just going off of last week. Maybe that's the logical thing here. Carolina looked a lot better at a losing effort last week. Why ask why? The insiders must know something here. Strings are being pulled. Carolina should be getting a lot more than the 3. Hence, I say take Carolina on the 3.
I love your thinking there. Carolina is my third recommendation of the week. I'm going to tell you why. I think these teams are more even than you're giving them credit for. Carolina, look, and I know I'm in a position where I'm probably going to have to defend them because I said that they were in the playoffs before the year started, which is now turning out to be an atrocious pick. But with the exception of that horrible Thursday night game against the Giants, all of their losses have been by 6 points or less, and most of them the teams that are better than the Redskins. Washington, to me, these teams are very similar. Newton's rookie season, phenomenal, spectacular, superlative-laden, not a lot of wins, though. Honestly, isn't RG3 going that same way? I mean, both guys are the best players on their respective teams. I think these teams are very even, but Carolina's just due to win. That was a brutal loss last week in Chicago. A brutal loss. I mean, Ron Rivera is not a good coach. I'd like to reiterate that as well. He's always doing something dumb every week.
Peter Principle. He is a great defensive coordinator. But, yeah, he's looking overmatched as a head coach. And by the way, when you talk about the quarterbacks here in this game, very interesting. Quarterback with a great future in Robert Griffin III, and a quarterback with a great future behind him in Cam Newton.
Oh, no, stop it. No, stop it. Cam Newton will be fine. He has no weapons. And he has no weapons at all.
Steve Smith says hi.
Steve Smith? That relic? I like Brandon LaFell better.
Brandon LaFell, my 11th round fantasy pick, has not been doing much for me recently. So,
yeah, I think Carolina's offense breaks out here. Washington's defense stinks.
That's true.
I think Cam Newton might have one of his best days this week. This is my third third recommendation of the week.
I do agree. I think Cam Newton has plenty of opportunity against this Washington defense. Another game, much like the Houston and Bills game earlier, that won't be a playoff preview, in this case because it would have to be a Super Bowl preview, and we know that won't be the case. The 3-4 Lions at the 1-6 Jaguars, arguably the worst team in the league as we speak.
I'd say inarguably. I don't know anyone who doesn't have Jacksonville rated number 32 on their old power rankings.
Detroit's laying 3.5 on this one, down from 4 earlier in the week. Again, you and I might have been a little bit ahead of the curve this year in calling it for Detroit that it was going to be a falling-off year from last year, and it's been that thus far. And I don't know, maybe people are excessively down on them at this point in time, maybe because they had them ranked a little higher at the start of the season than we did. This was almost a why ask why for me, because I can't believe Detroit's only laying 3.5 in this one, but I don't have a strong enough feel to go the other way in this one here. Again, Jacksonville, so very awful at the moment. Cecil Short's getting the job done, but probably still no Mo Jones-Drew. So no question in my mind, I'm taking the Lions laying the 3.5. You are speechless, Kyle. Kyle? All right, Kyle is apparently gathering himself, ladies and gentlemen, but we may be having some phone problems at the moment. Again, Detroit is laying 3.5 in this game to Jacksonville, and Detroit is my selection in this game. Okay, and we see that Kyle has dropped. And I believe he should be back on with us probably shortly here. So we'll be monitoring to see when we get Kyle back on the line. Here we go. Got him back. Kyle, you've been noted for some pauses sometimes while you gather your breath and gather a thought. It took me a second here to realize it was more than that. But Detroit laying the 3.5, I like them.
Can you hear me now, Ricky?
Yeah, you're back on.
I could hear you the whole time. I was debating just screaming very loud. I was debating just screaming. You know, I'm certainly never a man who's told he needs to raise his voice at any time, so I just decided to hang up and call back there. But, yeah, what I was going to say is pass on this one. This line stinks. And if it was any team other than Jacksonville, I'd grab the point. I don't think Detroit's very good. Even though they won last week against Seattle, they've been back and forth. Their other two wins came in the final minute in games they probably deserved to lose. They were very lucky not to be they're lucky not to be 1-6 right now. But Jacksonville's horrid.
Yeah, Jacksonville.
I just can't do it. The situation here clearly dictates the play on the home dog, but the home dog is Jacksonville, and I think they are significantly worse than every other team right now. So I can't take them. I don't want to use the term Charlotte Bobcats territory, but they're sort of approaching that for me, the Jaguars.
Okay. Yeah,
they're just so much worse than the second worst team.
They're pretty horrible. Next up here, 5-3 Minnesota at 4-4 Seattle. Again, the Seahawks, like a Jekyll and Hyde type team. Fortunately for them, they are home at Quest Field this week.
Yeah.
They're laying 5, up from 3.5 earlier in the week. I'm gonna ride Seattle. I'm not bothered by them laying 5 in this situation here. I think we're starting to see the Vikings circling the drain, as you and I predicted earlier in the season. Christian Ponder, I think, is going to be very vulnerable to this defense at West. Seahawks to win by a decent margin, certainly cover the 5.
Yeah, this is my fourth of five recommendations. Love Seattle here. I mention it every week when we talk about Seattle. Play against them on the road. Play on them at home. It's worked perfectly. Yeah, they're already at home this year. They've beaten, what, New England? They cheated to beat Green Bay, but that's okay. And they whipped Dallas. So
right.
They can easily handle Christian Ponder and a Minnesota team that just looked terrible on Thursday night. I know those Thursday night games always seem like they're a year ago when the team plays next, but they look bad against Tampa Bay. And you mentioned the Seattle defense at home. Look for it awful. Minnesota, have you seen their schedule the rest of the way? They might win like
yep.
a game the rest of the way. You know,
yep,
they've already
yep.
won more than I thought they would all year, but they're not going to win anymore. I'll tell you that much. Seattle,
well,
big here. Big.
Much like with Arizona, we called it with Minnesota, and we'll be every bit as right with Minnesota as we've been.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see either Arizona or Minnesota, honestly,
right.
eclipsing six wins.
Right. Two teams, arguably not as good as their records. It's the John Gruden Bowl, 3-4 Tampa at 3-4 Oakland. The Raiders are laying a point in this one. That tells me that on a neutral field, Vegas would be giving the lean towards Tampa. I don't think home field's enough to swing it in my case here. I like Tampa getting the point. I certainly think the way that they're going offensively, Josh Freeman is really starting to get smoke in here. I think Tampa Bay wins this one, maybe even by a touchdown.
Yeah, Oakland as a favorite is never something I like to really become associated with. They're a Cowboy-like 4-17 the last 21 times they've been favored at home. And their two wins, by the way, if the Raiders win here, that is three straight wins. I don't understand how this team has won any games the last 3 years.
Right.
You know, I just don't think they're any – I think Carson Palmer stinks. The last 2 weeks they've beaten Kansas City and Jacksonville. They trailed Jacksonville for much of the game. That was at home, oh, by the way. Tampa Bay has at least beaten some real teams. I don't. And, I mean, so is Oakland. Their other win came against Pittsburgh. I have no unearthly idea how they won that game. I watched it, and when they won, I was like, what, the Raiders won this game? I just think Tampa Bay's better. And you talk about home field not making much of a difference. I mean, really, what do they even call this game? O.com or something now? Oakland,
yeah.
Alameda, I'll call it old school. It's not much of a home field advantage there anymore. The best days of the black hole are behind it.
They really are. Five games left in our compressed time here. We go next to the Sunday night game, 3-4 Dallas at 7-0 Atlanta. Atlanta is laying 4, down from 5 earlier in the week here. This sort of has the feel of a game to me. Again, I agree with everybody. Atlanta is relatively shaky for 7-0, although I still have them number 1 in my power rankings. This has the feel of a game where it might just finally break the other way against them. At the very least, Dallas getting the 4 looks good. I think they can keep it to within a field goal. It's a must-win game for Dallas, assuming that they're still even on the periphery. I say take Dallas to the 4.
I can't disagree with anything you just said. Dallas is a team that, when they're getting points, you know, last week I guess they were technically a dog. You know, they were bet to the underdog role. Understandably so, given they were playing the Giants. But here, it's going to be more. As long as it stays above a field goal, I'm with you. Slight lean to the Cowboys. The Falcons are just due to lose. And the Cowboys, look, I'm not going to go through that soliloquy how they should be better because everyone's sick of hearing that, but they should be.
Absolutely. There's no question about that. And this might be a game where it manifests itself. Keep in mind, first game of the season against the Giants, the first overall game on the Wednesday night when the lights were bright. That was their best effort of the season, so it could repeat itself here perhaps. The Monday night game, 3-4 Eagles at the 2-5 Saints. Two woeful teams. The teams both, I can't say that the Saints had a ton of expectations, but they were coming off a great regular season last year. Eagles with a ton of expectations. In this game, the Eagles are getting 3.5. That's been a fairly steady line throughout the week. I think it could be a real shootout, much like for Cam Newton, a chance to get well against the Washington secondary. I think the same for Michael Vick here against New Orleans. And particularly the fact that the Eagles could lose by a field goal and still cover this thing. I'm going to say take Philadelphia in the 3.5.
I guess, slight lean to the Eagles just because they are getting the points. What two poorly coached teams these are.
Yep.
I mean, just poorly coached. Andy Reid. The only thing I'm worried about the Eagles is that Andy Reid is on the verge of becoming a lame duck coach.
He's close.
What an awful performance that was against Atlanta. I was disgusted. You knew after the first drive they were going to lose when Atlanta just marched right down the field and scored. I mean, they outclassed Philadelphia last week, in my opinion. And it's not all Mike Vick's fault, oh, by the way. Nick Foles is not who I watched in Arizona and was pedestrian at best. Thank you very much. This guy's not going to lead Philadelphia anywhere. If they put him in the starter, this is a bad last-place team in that division.
No, that's true.
They don't run the ball for Sean McCoy enough. What's Mike Vick supposed to say? He's supposed to tell him to take the play call and shove it up as you know where. I'm giving the ball to Sean McCoy. I don't think so.
Yeah, they're not using their weapons the right way. Bad coaching by Philadelphia and bad coaching this year by, I don't know what it is that they're using in New Orleans. I think it's a cardboard cutout of Sean Payton, but whatever, whatever or whoever.
That defense is just wretched. I've said that about a few defenses I know, but the Saints take the kid. They're historically awful.
Yeah, they really are. This could be a shootout. We come now to the three games that are my big three recommendations for the week. First one here in the Music City, 6-1 Bears at the 3-5 Titans. Titans, again, shamefully one of my wild card picks in the AFC. Last week's loss to Indianapolis should have sealed that fate. In this game, you've got a line of Chicago laying 3.5 down from 4 earlier in the week. Again, I'm looking at the directions that these teams are headed in. I just think the Bears have got too much for them right now. The Bears, again, they kind of scuffled a little bit last week against Carolina, kind of shades of what Green Bay did against Jacksonville. I don't look for a similar effort against an undermanned team 2 weeks in a row. Wrong place, wrong time for Tennessee coming off of that scare. I like the Bears laying the 3.5.
Again, situation would totally, under normal circumstances, dictate me playing the Titans. But road favorite, old road favorite Ricky here, as we're reappearing. The road favorites have done well the last 2 weeks. And the Bears, I'm sick of saying, hey, well, you can't count on a defensive touchdown every week because they've scored one almost every game. They had 6 already. The defense has 6. That's ridiculous. So they were completely outplayed by Carolina last week and still won the game. So I'm passing here.
Okay.
The Bears have looked lethargic the last 2 weeks on offense. So they could be due on the road. That line reeks. But the Titans are another team. They're a bottom 5 team in the league. They're bad.
They're not a good team. By the way, for the 14 games this week, and there would be 16 games, but there are 4 teams on the bye: New England, the Jets, St. Louis, San Francisco. I'm actually going, when I said earlier, body snatchers, I'm actually going 9 dogs in the 14 games here this week. Very uncharacteristic for me, and very uncharacteristic for one of these to be in my big three. And yet here it is in the next one. It's the Rooney Mara Bowl, literally, because this actress will be torn at the seams between the teams that she is named after, the families anyways, the 4-3 Steelers and the 6-2 Giants. And this is a game where the Giants are laying 3.5 to the Squealers. But, again, much as I loathe them, much as I would like for this not to be the case, I just think, again, I'm looking at the fact that the Giants are coming off of wins over San Francisco, Washington, Dallas. Those are very emotional games, 3 weeks in a row that they've been up for. I'm looking at this, again, notwithstanding the intermarriage between the owners of the family, owners of the teams, this is not a rivalry game. I think there'll be a little bit of a letdown. The Giants have had trouble in the regular season sustaining it this many weeks in a row anyway. So unless they can hypnotize themselves and make believe it's January and February, I say they won't sustain it. Steelers plus the 3.5.
Slight lean, and I'll agree with you. Wow. So I guess my fifth recommendation, I guarantee we're going to agree. It'll be a very rare agreement between you and I. I'll just say this on this game. I would be more prone to back the Steelers, but they're such a bad road team. I know that their last two road wins have both been at Cincinnati. So, you know, they've won one road game the last 2 years that was, or covered one road game the last 2 years that wasn't in Cincinnati. So that gives me a little trepidation. And the Giants, I know that they let Dallas back in that game, but God, do they look great sometimes.
They do. They do.
I agree that, you know, I mean, just look at the blueprint. The Giants sometimes just play one of those games, and, you know, Pittsburgh's good enough to beat you if they do. So,
I think so. The last game here to look at here, my 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 9. You've got the Baltimore Ravens 5-2 at the 2-6 Cleveland Browns. And, again, I've been wrong on picking a couple of Browns games thus far. This year, the Browns are getting 3.5 up from 3 earlier in the week. This is one where, again, you've got that bye that Baltimore's coming off of. I know they're licking their wounds. They got to be really, really feeling it after that Houston drubbing that they suffered. They were lucky to get past Dallas at home. They were lucky to get past Kansas City earlier. And the Browns played them tough the first time around here. So, there's a lot not to like about the Ravens, but I think, again, everybody's getting way too inflated a sense of the progress that the Browns are making at this point in time here. That line to me, again, it's not smelly enough to make me go the other way and say take the Browns, but I think Baltimore should certainly be laying more than the 3.5 in this one. This one strikes me as a get-well opportunity for Flacco and company. My lock for the week is Baltimore laying the 3.5 to the Browns.
Baltimore is also my fifth of five recommended plays this week. The number, you know, this one doesn't stink. It's just too low. Baltimore's in the same price range San Diego was last week, and even with the injuries, Baltimore's been in San Diego. They always beat Cleveland. Cleveland, yeah, they won last week, but it was an awful win. And the Ravens are off the bye. So I got to think if they have any pride, you know, they'll continue down the stretch. They're still a playoff team in this week, AFC. Might still win the division. I'm with you. Baltimore is my fifth of five recommended plays, joining Indianapolis, Cincinnati, Seattle, and Carolina.
Okay. And my big three, of course, are Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Chicago, with Baltimore being the lock pick. Baltimore and Pittsburgh as two of my three lock picks. Never let anybody say that I am not impartial when it comes to that, but
who do you think you're talking to, Ricky? I was all over Miami of Ohio last week.
We can close on that note here. What a horrific disappointment it was as our school gets bounced from the undefeated season by J. Crew U. I texted one of our dignitaries, who's a fellow alum, Chris Galloway. I just simply said, TT is dead to me. I have never seen a game end like that. A quarterback gets sacked on the final play of the game with no timeouts left when we could have kicked the field goal.
What can I tell you? They were the most overrated team in the country going into last week.
We were lucky to be undefeated, but damn it, it was right there for us, and we end up blowing it. The funny thing is that of all the honors in my family, my brother went to Notre Dame. My dad went to Ohio State. This is certainly the latest in the season. All our schools are undefeated.
That's
been a once-in-a-lifetime season.
Good crop of people you got going there. Yeah, good crop of school. OU would never move the meter like Notre Dame, by the way.
That's true, but you know what? We'll leave it on this note. That game happened to fall on the celebration of Halloween in Athens last Saturday night. We think that the students were probably feeling no pain by the time nighttime.
Make no mistake about it. I don't think anyone was talking about -3.5. If they were, it certainly had nothing to do with football.
I don't think so. On
Saturday night, so.
Kyle, you and I, a veteran of many great Halloweens in Athens, always a pleasure, Kyle. We'll do it again next week. Thanks very much, pal.
Talk to you then, Ricky.
All right, buddy.